ready to do your will. What does that look like? Well, let's have a look at that through our sermon series at the moment. Every time we get together as a church, we look at the Bible. And we're going through a series at the moment called Jesus, the Deleted Scenes. Those bits from the life of Jesus that we tend to either underplay or ignore or distort in our minds. How does that work? Well, let me tell you a story. When I was a young man, you have to say that once you turn 50, don't you, really? When I was a young man, I was at university, and there always used to be a bit of fun when England were playing rugby. Because whenever England were playing rugby, the Scots would try and turn the channel over, unless we were playing Scotland, of course. And then there would be this kind of, well, it was a kind of gentlemanly sort of fight, ruck, really. Now, obviously, being someone who's always been very holy, I never got involved in that sort of thing. But on this one occasion, there was my mate Erwin, and this is at London Bible College, and somehow we got into this ruck in the TV room, and it was great. I jumped on him, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. He was a small guy, and we weren't going to have any problems. Then I do not know what happened, but within 10 seconds, he was on my back, choking me with one arm and gouging out my eyes with the other. And it hurt. And I was thinking, what on earth? And then he suddenly stopped. He said, "I'm so terribly, terribly sorry," and ran out. Now, I'd known him for a year. We'd lived on the same corridor for a year. So I was rubbing my eyes a bit, and I went out after him. And he was a more mature student than me. He was late 20s. And I said, "Erwin, what's going on?" And he was really visibly upset. So I said, "Erwin, let's go and have a coffee." We sat down. He said, "First thing you need to know, my name's not Erwin." He said, "I'm living under a pseudonym. I spent 4 years undercover in Northern Ireland. I went to France last year and assumed a new identity. That's where I became a Christian. I've come here to study." He said, "When you jumped on me, 4 years of undercover just kicked in." Note to self, never jump on this man again. Now, in a bizarre way, what happened in the common room of London Bible College that evening actually is a relevance to what we're talking about in Jesus, the Deleted Scenes, because it gets into the way our brains work. Let me explain to you what we looked at a couple of weeks ago, just very briefly, and if you want to hear in more detail, go on the website and listen to it. But basically, the way human beings think is incredibly wonderful and complex and beautiful, but we also need to know how it's flawed. And one of the ways the brain works is it develops these entrenched ways of thinking. They're called neurological pathways. The brain makes a connection between two different parts of the brain. And once that's reinforced a few times, it gets very, very set in its thinking. That explains why Erwin, who wasn't called Erwin, and I never did find out his real name, that's why it explains why he did that night. Because those entrenched ways of thinking, that trained to react before your brain can actually even kick in consciously. That's what happened that night, and entrenched ways of thinking. That's why habits are so difficult to break, because our mind sets up these neurological pathways. Now, that's great when we're followers of Jesus, when we're thinking the right things about Jesus. But the problem is that those entrenched ways of thinking about Jesus also happen with the things that we get wrong. Because there's another couple of other things that the brain does when it's thinking that kind of inhibits our ability to live the truth and follow the truth. So the first thing is, you and I don't deal with reality. We only deal with edited versions of reality, because we are being bombarded constantly with so many bits of information that our brain can only take on an edited version of that. Generalizations is the way that brains do filing. So when it comes to following Jesus, we're very quick to generalize. We normally haven't studied all of the Gospels and in depth everything that Jesus said, and so we just have an edited version in our minds of this Jesus, which we then become very entrenched about. But that's compounded by a third way that we think, which is that actually, before we even start thinking, we're already feeling. Before we even start processing something new, we're already feeling instinctively about it. And that prejudices us against or for this new piece of information coming in. And so we all like to think we're objective, but we're not. As we said last time, we are not Spock. Which brings me to a very serious part of my sermon this morning. I have a statement to read. The elders of the church would like to make it clear that whilst we do not believe that Star Trek is a salvation issue, we accept it is an issue with the potential to split the church. As a result, I feel it is important to issue the following correction to my sermon of 2 weeks ago. I stated that Spock is a Vulcan. I humbly beg your forgiveness. He is not a Vulcan. He is a half-Vulcan whose mother was human. I said that Vulcans are known to be logical, and this is because they don't have emotions. In fact, most Vulcans do have emotions. They have merely developed a technique to suppress them. I hope this clarifies the picture. Right. Now, so, where was I? So the way our brains think, okay, actually edits the Jesus that we are wanting to follow, deletes parts of the Jesus that we're wanting to follow, distorts parts of the Jesus that we want to follow, generalizes about the Jesus we want to follow, and even when you're listening to this sermon, you're already feeling things about this Jesus, which will either make you more open to what I say or less open, depending on how you feel. Thinking is a great gift, but we need to understand its limitations, because it's a serious issue. What's happening in our world right now is that we have a ventriloquist Jesus. We have a Jesus who says for people what they want him to say, not actually who he really was. And we edit, delete, and distort, and generalize, and we feel and think these things. And so this series is trying to redress the balance from the ventriloquist's dummy version of Jesus to try and let the real Jesus speak for himself and challenge afresh some of those entrenched thoughts that we have about him. So last week, Kev was looking at the issue of forgiveness. Everybody who's ever thought anything about Jesus loves this idea that Jesus came to forgive us our sins. Wonderful. But as we saw last week, forgiveness from Jesus is always conditional. And it's conditional on two things. Number one, repentance. That we ask for forgiveness and mean it and intend to turn away from that which we've been doing wrong. Jesus doesn't continue to forgive that which we continue to just carry on with and don't really care about. So if forgiveness is conditional on repentance, and secondly, forgiveness is conditional on that we then pass on that forgiveness to others. Jesus said very clearly, if you do not forgive one another, I don't forgive you. That doesn't fit with the ventriloquist's dummy of Jesus.